well. Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted news source. Today's special guest, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute. Gerald Celente, Director of the Trends Research Institute with the Trends Journal, latest copy sitting right here on the desktop. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, let's start off today with your latest Trends Journal. You say Americans are the most manipulated people in history, and you back it with some substance. You say since 2008, the economy has been manipulated for the big banks, too big to fail. I say too big to bail. Foreign policy has been manipulated, and it's all coming to a focal point between us, Russia, and China. And I agree with you. Tell us more, please.
Yes. By the way, that was written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who's a contributor to the Trends Journal. And, of course, he was the former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. And he's been around, knows what it looks like. There's a lot of experience. And there's no one out there that I respect more for geopolitical and economic insights than Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And he makes it very clear. Let's start with the bankism, as we call it, one of the top trends as well. And this is not capitalism. In capitalism, there's no such thing as too big to fail. There are no such thing as bailouts and tax breaks for your buddies. So when you look at it, for example, just making the news now, former head of the Federal Reserve, the chairman, Ben Bernanke, who under his regime pumped trillions of dollars into central banks around the world and other banks to prop up their failures following the panic of 08, he just got a job with a $25 billion a year hedge fund. Hey, son of a gun, huh? Hey, did you see that guy that played the governor of Massachusetts? Hey, you know Massachusetts, where Mitt Romney used to hang out? Son of a gun. Guy joined up with Mitt Romney, the governor, former governor of Massachusetts. Let's make this clear. This is not a revolving door. It's one door. It's the corporate door. They're in charge. They're running the show. And then you go on to the media and what they're promoting, or the prostitutes that promote the propaganda. Who owns them? Well, thanks to Bill Clinton, only a handful, about six, control 90% plus of all of the media in the United States when he deregulated the Federal Communications Act back in 1996. So what do we hear? Every time you hear the word, for example, now that what's going on in Yemen with the Houthis, they always throw the line in there, the Iranian-backed Houthis. Even though Iran denies it, the Houthis deny it, and there's no proof of anything. But that's okay. We'll keep saying it so everybody can believe it.
Grand manipulation, as you all refer to it. It's essentially a Ponzi scheme where government debt is simply issued and everybody seems to find some cheap money. Everybody, but the mom and the pops and the everyday folks, the middle class, the working classes, everybody at the top. And you've got the too big to fail. Give us an idea of why their mistakes could soon become our mistake.
Well, because everybody that's in the business that wants to tell it straight knows what it is. And you mentioned it. You get all this cheap money. And the reality is you go over to Europe, now you have negative interest rates. So what are they doing? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So what are they doing? All of these hedge funds, all these private equity groups, all these investment capitalists. And by the way, those are just nice words for big-time gamblers. Are borrowing money for nothing, doing deals, and speculating. And then let's look at the other half of the rise of the equity markets. Big companies borrowing money for nothing and buying back their stock and driving up the prices. So you said it, it's one big Ponzi scheme, and we're not in it. Because when you look at the data just coming out, for example, hey, you see that new foreclosure rate up 20% over last year. That's called a recovery, isn't it? Yeah, so what they're recovering from is their addiction by them feeding them more of their monetary methadone through negative interest rates. Hey, listen, you know, Chris, we've been doing this show a long time, and you're a nice guy. I got a deal for you. We're selling bonds. I'm going to call myself Switzerland to Germany, and you're going to buy this bond from me. Let's play Switzerland for right now, and you're going to cash it in 10 years. And because you're such a nice guy, I'm going to guarantee you less money than you loaned me. Just sign on the line.
I got one word for you. Nuts.
And that's what's going on. Five-year bonds in Germany, 10-year bonds in Greece, over 20% of the European bonds with negative yields. Just to make it clear, just to make it 100% clear, it's never been done in the history of the world, part one or part two.
This fiat money scam has been going on. You're talking 2,000 years, and Gerald Celente just said it right here on the show. We've reached a whole new level never seen before.
Never seen before. Right in front of our eyes. So again, then the media manipulates it. That's why it's part of the grand manipulation. So it could be on geopolitics, on these business shows that keep propping up the lie. And every now and then they spew the truth. This guy Yardini, yeah, every now and then he slipped up and he said the game is rigged. But he said, but I love the central bank. That's Ed Yardini. Anybody could look it up on CNBC a while ago. But I love the central bank. What is he? Is that the central bank he's in love with?
Now, according to the Trends Journal, we just can't back down from Russia and China. Those two are actually doing pretty well, at least on paper. They're trying to get out of debt and accumulate precious metals and keep their workforce, you know, and their economy growing. Over there, there's a big housing bubble about to burst.
Let's talk about, first of all, before we go into the economics of it and staying on with the prostitutes reporting of it, look at the aggression of China. I think they invaded Libya. No, I don't think they did. I think they had to take out about 30,000 people. The United States did that. The Peace Prize winner, you remember him. And if only the women were in charge, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice, now in Washington, that pushed for the war. It's not about race, creed, or color, or gender. It's about people. Tired of hearing. It's not about race, creed, or color. So China, no, I don't think they did invade Libya. I think it was Iraq. No, I don't think that was Iraq. I don't think that was China either. And then look at Russia. Russia was the ones that called the end of Kerry's madness and Obama's to bomb Syria when they showed that they were lying about the so-called chemical weapons. And then you see in the news now this guy Richard Engel with NBC. They made up a story. They lied about when they said he was kidnapped by Assad's troops, and they weren't. He wasn't. I guess he must have been in the same helicopter as the other NBC guy, Brian Williams, in Iraq, that was being shot at. Oh, it wasn't being shot at. You have to tie it all together, whether it's geopolitics or economics. And then when you talk about, again, the threats from Russia and China, how many times have you heard, Chris, about Russian tanks, Russian troops, and Russian artillery moving into East Ukraine? How many photos have you seen? Not one in this day of selfies. But yet, as I was talking before about Yemen, here's the poorest country, one of the poorest countries in the world. Being attacked by Saudi Arabia, one of the richest ones, and they have footage of the Houthis defeating the Saudis in this outpost. But yet we have no footage coming from Ukraine showing us proof that Russia is involved in this.
I'd like to shift from the geopolitical. Let's look at the domestic economy. And you crunch the numbers in the latest Trends Journal. You talk about this interesting paradox where we have one of the best employment numbers since the credit crisis of 2008, around 5.6% unemployment, allegedly. I'm using quotes. You can't see it here. But then there's the U3 number, which we all know John Williams is publishing over at Shadow Stats, which is just the government's previous method. And the U6 method, and they're showing at least 11.2% unemployment. Somebody's not telling it like it is here. They wouldn't make very good umpires at the Little League games. So let's figure out what's going on, okay? Are these all discouraged workers? Is half of the workforce discouraged? Or are we all just so rich here in America, Gerald, we don't need to work?
When I talk about the manipulation and the people that do it, I talked about Clinton, who deregulated the communications industry, besides, of course, the Glass-Steagall Act, and all those people out there that love GMO foods. That's Clinton. But also, he was the guy that rigged the employment numbers, the unemployment numbers. Started under him. It began in earnest under him. So now when we're looking at the numbers, let's put this into perspective. The numbers were lousy for January and February because it was terrible weather. It was lousy. It was cold, and people weren't going out. But March's numbers came out. Unemployment number, or the new employment numbers, were half of what Wall Street had anticipated. And then you look at where there's growth, and they show it in the retail sector, for example. Now, when you look at Target closing stores, Radio Shack, Sears, JCPenney, and the retail numbers all being down, how can there be growth in these fields? What are we missing here? And then you look at the so-called quality of the jobs, they're lousy quality. Again, go back to Bill Clinton. Why? Well, how about NAFTA? That's the jobs that used to be the routine jobs that people had on assembly lines and other kind of jobs that weren't outsourced have been outsourced.
Oh, that's gone. You know, you're talking 600,000 of those prime jobs a year over a 10-year period, actually more than 10 years. It's something to the tune, I've read, of 5 or 6 million jobs at least that we've lost.
And you look at where the growth has been made up. It's almost a parallel. In healthcare, ambulatory services, people making nothing. That's where it's been made. So then you go back to Pew Research studies that show, for example, that the gap between the rich and the poor right now is worse than it was during the Gilded Age. You have the median household income right now is below 1999 levels. And then again, you know, we were talking earlier about China, and look at the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, that now has 57 founding members, and they're going to have a bigger budget than the World Bank. Now, of course, you have to put this into perspective. The United States is still the major reserve currency of the world. It used to account for about 80%, you know, about 15 years ago. Now it's down to 63%. The euro used to account for much more. Now it's down to about 22%. China still has a very small percent, under 3% with the yuan. But you can see where the trend is going. Now think of the name Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Infrastructure. That's where the money's going toward. China spends on average about 8.5% of its GDP on infrastructure. All of us people living here in the rotted United States of America, with its lousy roads and its third world rail, and it's, you fly into JFK from coming from another country, it's a disgrace when you're overseas in Asia or Europe and then fly into here. We spend the grand total on infrastructure of 0.065% annually. So the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank is anathema to Americans, because infrastructure doesn't count. You see, the business of China is business, and the business of America is war.
Well, you know, it worked so well for Japan. For to give them some credit, the government worked closely with business because they knew the global competition was intense. And then all of society, for the most part, the small entrepreneur, I admit, suffers. The society benefited from that. And then now that started to cave. Well, we're seeing that in the United States. Just the top corporations benefiting.
It goes back to the Bill Clintons, the Jimmy Carters, the Ronald Reagans. They're all in bed together. Look at the disgrace. This isn't even a two-party system. It's a two-family system. That we have the Clintons and the Bushes. I haven't had enough of these people in my life. America? Spoil it with a K.
And let's talk about some more of the topicality from the Trends Journal. Give me an idea of where we're headed next with all of this.
There's going to be a crash that's worse than the panic of 08. It's a global crash because it's global. You have China dumping cheap dough into their system. You look at their numbers. They're way off in GDP, in exports, in imports. Look what I mentioned about what's going on in Europe with their negative interest rates. It's the entire world is they're pumping up their economies with fake money. At some point, this Ponzi scheme is going to, as they all do, end. And that's why people ask me, am I still bullish on gold? And as I would say to you, Chris, I just made you an offer a little earlier on to buy a 10-year Swiss bond, and you're guaranteed to get less money back in 10 years than today. Do you think that gold prices are going to be lower in 10 years than today?
I mean, it's a sure bet.
That's where we're at. Again, I don't gamble. I buy for possession. I buy it for my gold is for my golden years. I've been buying gold. My first buy of gold, it's on record, $187.50 an ounce, 1978. But I've been buying it so when you average it out, and I bought it up at $1,100. I bought it at $1,800. But I've been buying it all those years.
In the long term, you know, regression line is sloping up.
Exactly. When you average it out, I'm way ahead of the game. I'm sure glad I didn't buy Chrysler stock or Bethlehem Steel. So when you look at it, and then you look what's going on in Yemen. This is a big story, and it's not being covered by the media. We had the Saudi ambassador 3 weeks ago announce from Washington, D.C., the people's capital, that the Saudis were going to invade Yemen. And the United States is right in bed with this. What a disgrace. What's Riyadh's not good enough for him? Do it at home. But I'm saying this because if there is an attack against the Saudis, the oil fields, against the monarchy, this is going to be worse than Iraq, Libya, and Syria. And you're already looking at the spike of oil prices already, and some of it reflects this. They have no business going in there. They're propping up a government, the Hadi government, who was put in place after the Arab Spring when they threw out Saleh, who was also backed by the United States, that was in office since, about 1990. And this guy was the vice president. They propped him up. He ran in an election that they put a ticket out with nobody else running against him. It was overthrown. He resigned, and now they're trying to prop him back up. It's none of our business. Remember the USS Cole. It was blown up in the port of Aden in Yemen.
One final question for you that's on our listeners' minds, and it's on all of our minds, I think. Are you buying the housing recovery mantra, or is this just smoke and mirrors?
You're not looking at strong growth. You're looking at moderate growth, and the important numbers to look at are new home buyers, and that number is hitting historic lows. That's because the people between the ages of 25 and 35 have lousy jobs. And you're looking at the multifamily dwellings going up more, and that's what they're living in, and tiny little places. So your market that used to account for some 46% of new home sales for first-time home buyers, that number's down to around 26%. So as long as young people are making lousy wages, you're not going to see the spike in housing.
as you say, you know, the job growth is such a key point. If people feel secure and there's ample alternative jobs or career paths to them, but right now people are just struggling. Something around 60 to 70% of people living from paycheck to paycheck. That's not a scenario that favors higher housing.
No, it's not.
And let's look at the St. Louis Fed numbers. If you dive into the numbers there recently, you can see that the trend turned over around 2008 for home occupancy rates turned downward, where folks just simply are not, on the whole, choosing the housing option. They're going the way of the rental.
Because they can't afford to buy them. It goes back to the jobs. And then one more thing just to add into that. Look at the number coming, you mentioned the St. Louis Fed. Check the number coming out from the Atlanta Fed, where they're looking at GDP growth in this first quarter to be around 0.2%.
Why don't you tell folks more about the Trends Journal?
Oh, the Trends Journal, and we have a Trends Monthly. The Trends Journal is a quarterly. We have a Trends Monthly. Each night we do Trends in the News. Our website is trendsresearch.com. We have a conference coming up here in June 6th in Colonial Kingston, New York, in our historic 1774 Academy. So there's a lot there. Go to trendsresearch.com. It's the only place where you're going to get history before it happened. Thank you.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.